Well, this has been a long time since the last time we spoke, but I want to greet you in the name of the Lord. So, good morning, Ian Penang. Why don't we all stand? And before we get started, okay, my voice is a little bit cracky here, but we're going to get through it. I'm looking to have a great time with you all, okay? Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for such a time as this that we could gather together in your name. And Lord, we pray that you would be here with us and that you would touch us and speak to us as we would share the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, before you get seated, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, good morning, you good-looking person, you. Now, in our every nation custom, you can be seated. We always show something of our family, so this morning, hopefully we have pictures of my family. No, that's okay. I brought them here anyway. And so this is my lovely wife, Jeannie. Okay, and she's pretty. Why she picked me, I don't know. It's the hand of God, okay? And this is my lovely daughter, Asia. She is shy, but not really. And then I have one more who is my son. He's in Hawaii studying and learning how to live on his own. So that's my family, and it's great to be here. Last time we had a great time, and this time, even though I'm a little bit scratchy in the throat, we're going to have a good time. Now, yesterday we had a leaders meeting. And so if you are a leader, please stand up. Okay, you came to that meeting yesterday, please stand up. Come on. We're leaders. This is what leaders do. Now, you look at these guys, and I want you to know that this is the best of Ian Penang because they stand on behalf of you, and you need to give them honor. And I want to tell you something. This morning, I want you to say this. Say strong.
Strong.
Okay, a little bit stronger than my voice, all right? Say strong.
Strong.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Preach it.
Preach it.
Okay? I'm telling you that because one day these guys might be up here and they're going to need your help, right? And so when they're here preaching or teaching or giving announcement, encourage them, all right? Strong, powerful, preach it. Give yourself a hand. So this morning, I want us to think about this, and I'm going to ask you a question. And the question is, if you were to die tonight, what would people remember you by? Okay? Or in other words, what were you always doing? All right? Now, for some of us, unfortunately, hopefully this is not you, but they might remember you as the one being on their phone all the time or checking social media. All right? I hope that's not you. Or maybe you're working all the time and didn't have a chance to spend time with your family. Or will they know you as being a lovely person, a loving person, a giving person, a generous person? Or will they remember you as being cantankerous, argumentative? You know, what will people remember you as? That's the question I want to ask. We live now in a very self-centered, selfish, self-gratifying, self-promoting world. Looking up on the internet before I came here, I looked up and I found these several articles. One of them is The Art of Self-Promotion. 6 Ways to Get Your Work Discovered. Forbes wrote one called Self-Promotion is a Skill. In other words, if you want to be good in this society, you're going to have to learn to promote yourself. Then there's this one that I found. I thought maybe not anybody here, but I was thinking about my own congregation. Maybe someone needs to read this. 40 Ways to Self-Promote Without Being a Jerk. What are these articles saying? We have to learn to self-promote, to help others see just how great we are. It has become very common in the world today. Sadly, but this is true. Asking a typical teenager, please don't ask my daughter this, but what do they want to be when they grow up? What kind of career do they want to have? 54%, 54% said they want to be a influencer. They want to be a celebrity. They want to be a YouTube or TikTok star. That's 54% of most teenagers. That's why they need to self-promote themselves as a career. So people will see how good they are. They want to be known in my world. They want to be known as the GOAT. Now, how many of you know what the GOAT is? Huh? If not, raise your hand. I got to be truthful with you. I learned this a couple of years, but, you know, I hear it every now and again. What does the GOAT mean? Greatest of all times. Yes. The greatest of all times. We all want to be the GOAT. I don't know about you, but I like to be the GOAT. But, you know, some of us want to be famous, want to be known. But that's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. And that's what I want to talk to you about. In Luke 9, verse 23, it says, if anyone will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and daily follow me. In other words, Jesus says, if you are going to come after me, you need to first, number one, deny yourself. You are to say no to yourself. You are to die to yourself. You don't promote yourself. You don't push yourself on someone else. You don't push yourself in front. Jesus says we are to deny ourselves. The second thing, follow him. Or not follow him, take up his cross. You are not to do what you want to do, but what he wants you to do, take up his cross. You know, that's a hard one. People nowadays do not want to follow what people tell them to do. I know. I have a lot of young men. The third one is follow him. Let him lead you. Like I said, I have a lot of young men who are under the age of 25. And I said, the first thing, they usually come in from the Philippines or come in from somewhere else, but are connected to our Every Nation family. And I have a little sit-down with them, and I talk with them. And I said to them, you know, the first thing you need to do, you're going to live in Bangkok, is, number one, you're going to have to learn to say no to yourself. Why? Because most of these guys have never been on their own. And the first thing they're going to do is get a job and spend all their money. Tell me if that is not you. I know it was for me. And so I tell them, the first thing you need to do is learn to say no. Learn to conquer yourself. Learn to put yourself under, and I hate this word at the beginning, the word is called a budget. Well, what's a budget? Well, it's teaching you how to live correctly. Okay? Then it goes on in Luke 9, 24 and 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Remember the question I asked earlier? If you were to die tonight, what would people remember you for? In other words, what were you doing the most? What were you doing the most? You know, just a side note for all you leaders, the first rule of leadership in Grace Bangkok Church is, if you lose yourself for the kingdom of God, you'll find what life is all about. In leadership, it's always a losing. Losing of yourself. See, something happens when you give of yourself. There's a great exchange that happens. His life for my life. He gives me a better life than I could ever have. And that's the great exchange that we experience when we come to Jesus Christ as Savior and make Him Lord. There's something unique that happens there. I don't know how else to explain it. The only thing I can tell you is when you come to a place and people will ask you, will you give up the Christian life? And your response would be just like the disciples. Where would I go, Lord? Where would I go? You are so good to me. My life, excuse my language, my life was going down into hell. But when you came and you saved me and you made me new, where would I go? You have the words of eternal life. That's why I serve. Now, in the book of Acts, Acts 9, verse 36, I'm going to tell you the story. All right? It goes like this. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas. Okay? So, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Now, Dorcas is the word in Greek, and Tabitha is the word in Aramaic, both meaning the same, which in Aramaic, Tabitha means gazelle, which is a beautiful, swift creature known for its large, bright eyes. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us any physical feature of this lady, Tabitha, except that she was always, what, doing good and, what, helping others. And that was her life. She was always helping the less fortunate. Now, if you read that account, you'll find out that what she did in the city that she lived in was she would make clothes. And she would give it to those who didn't have anything. And that was her way of serving Jesus. Okay? She was the first Greek woman named in the New Testament, which says something. She was a disciple. Okay? What was she known for? She was a disciple who was always doing good and helping the poor. As a Christian, let me ask you this. What are you doing? What are you doing? Tell your neighbor that. What are you doing? Huh? What are you known for? Are you known for helping? Serving? Dorcas was known, or Tabitha was known, to those who are less fortunate in her city. And she lived among them, and she was a believer. When she died, God brought Peter to raise her up from the dead, and a revival broke out, and many people got saved. Okay, so who was this lady? Well, she was a believer, lived among the people, all right, and served them. You know, there are people like that here in this congregation. I don't know much of you. I only know Sue and Edwin, but they kind of stand out. They're always helping people. Some of your leaders, you might know them because they're always doing something good, helping. When I serve others, I serve Jesus. Let's say that together. When I serve others, I serve Jesus. Now, I look at you, and you remind me of my congregation. Even though I tell them, let's say it together, you're quiet. Okay, now let's try this again, all right? Don't be afraid. Nobody's looking at you, okay? But let's say, when I serve others, I serve Jesus. Okay, ready? One, two, three. When I serve others, I serve Jesus. Say it one more time. When I say others, I serve Jesus. Okay, now, that's important. When you serve others, you are really serving Jesus Christ. So do it well. Do it consistently. Do it with love. And remember, you're serving the Lord. Matthew 23, verse 11 says this. The greatest among you shall be what? Your servant. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Tabitha, or Dorcas, instead of always being self-promoting, selfish, had an attitude where she was selfless and served. That makes a difference in this world. I don't see a lot of people in this world serving another person. In fact, I'll tell you this. I have never met a parent that told their children, when you grow up, I want you to be a servant. I want you to be a slave. Right? But yet, in the kingdom of God, in this upside down kingdom of God, that's exactly what he says. It's that you need to serve. Because in giving of your life, when you lose it for the kingdom of God and for the gospel, you'll find what life is all about. Yeah? She was the servant of the Most High God. So, how do we, as Jesus followers, how do we become like that servant, a faithful servant? You might say, well, Pastor Cowie, I do not sew, so I can't make clothes, all right? Or you might say, I'm not like Jess, who sings well, lead worship, has a beautiful voice. I'm not as talented as them. I'm not like Pastor John, who can preach well. Okay, I understand. But, there are three pictures I'm going to give you this morning to help you understand what you can do, all right? Three pictures that we find in the Bible. All right, the first one is you don't have to do all that, but maybe you can bring a lunch. Bring a lunch. What do you mean, bring a lunch? Well, in Matthew 14, verse 13 to 21, there's a story that goes like this. Jesus goes in the mountains. He comes back down. His friend John the Baptist was beheaded, and he saw people. And they start coming to him, and he starts to heal them. He starts to work miracles among them. And the Bible goes like this. He does this, and it comes to evening time, late afternoon, and his disciples go, Jesus, where are we going to feed all these people? Send them home. And Jesus turns to them and says, you feed them. And they go back to Jesus, and Jesus goes, Jesus, we don't have any money, that's one, and we don't have enough food because we only have five loaves and two fishes. Five loaves and two fishes. And so they bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus prays, gives it back to them. They feed the 5,000. All right? Now, the interesting thing about this story, if you want to be great, then learn how to be insignificant. This little boy is not even mentioned. His name is not known. But all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He wasn't thinking about himself, but he was thinking about other people. And that's the first thing that you need to learn, is how to be insignificant. How to share whatever you have. I was listening to that young lady that was giving the tithes and offering. You know, she said, my husband and I, we don't have much to give. You don't need much. You put into the hands of the Father, and He'll make it multiply. Where are you? Stand up. Here's my blessing to you. For thus saith the Lord, finances is going to come. You have been faithful in the little. Now God is going to open the doors to make you faithful in much. As much as you are willing to believe God is as much as God will give to you. Amen? It's not what you have. It's what you're willing to give and think about others. Okay? And then that's the thing about the kingdom of God. Your greatness starts with your attitude. I don't have much, but what I do have, I give unto the Lord. And the Lord will multiply it. Are you willing to serve without any recognition? But are you willing to do it unto Him? Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24 says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily, okay, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. For you serve the Lord Christ. See, when you do it unto God, God takes that and makes something happen. He turns it into something that is useful for the kingdom of God. Because His reward is greater, far greater than we can imagine. The Bible says this, eye have not seen, ear has not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. Do you know that isn't in the by and by? That isn't when you die. That's now. That's right here. Well, Pastor, I don't see it in my life. Well, then you might have to do some soul searching and really think, am I doing it the way God wants me to do it? Am I being selfish or am I being selfless? That's the question. Are you going to depend on God or are you going to depend on yourself? The more I depend on God, the more I see the great exchange. Well, how does that look? Okay, I'll give you, you know what? I have stories to tell you. I got stories about God's provision. I got this car back in 2017. My truck, ask Edwin and Sue, my truck was special. It was a Japanese Mercedes. You know what that is? It's called Isuzu, okay? And this Isuzu was 22 years old. And this was a very unique Isuzu. I'm telling you, it was unique because when it rained outside, it rained inside. And when you open the door, you got to pump the what do you call it? And then you got to push hard. Yeah, it was special. And so 2017, I guess, between 2017, 2018, this car got stuck at a mall. And the interesting thing was that I had to get the security guards to push it so I could kickstart it. And when it started, I went home. And when I got home and parked it, it died. So I had to go and get a tow truck and get it fixed. In the meantime, my wife is meeting with our senior assistant. His name is Tammy. Tammy and his wife. She was actually meeting Michelle. Anyway, the long story short, Michelle goes, "You need a new car." And Jeannie goes, "No, we want a truck." And so what happened was that she started looking through her iPhone, found this app, and this truck just all of a sudden popped up. And so Jeannie was looking at this truck, and what happened was that she goes, "Oh, let's go look at this truck." So she makes an appointment without me knowing, all right? And so she comes up to me, and she goes, "We're going to see a truck tomorrow." I go, "What are we going to see a truck for?" "Well, we just got this truck fixed. We need a new truck." "I don't think we have enough money for a new truck." "Well, how much do we have?" "Not enough." "Well, let's go see this truck anyway." So we went to go see this truck. And I told her, before we get there, I told her, "We're not buying a truck, okay? We're not buying a truck." Anyway, this white truck comes out. It was beautiful. It still had the plastic on it. Open the engine. The engine is clean. There's no dust. Yet it was a three-year-old truck, 3 years old. And so Jeannie goes, "Let's make a bid." I go, "We're not buying a truck." "Well, let's just see how much it costs." And so she starts asking the guy. And so what happened was that he only going to come down this much. And I said, "Tell him we'll pay him in cash and see what he says." So sure enough, she says, she offers it, "We'll pay you in cash." The guy says, "Okay, I come down, you know, a little bit lower." And so I said, and she goes, "We'll buy it." And I said, "We're not buying it." She goes, "We're buying it." And so what are we going to do? She goes, "We're going to do creative financing." And I said, "What is creative financing?" "Creative financing means we just pull more money out of America." So what happens is this, is that we buy this new truck, all right? It only has one key, so I have to change the electronics in it. So we go, and Jeannie starts looking at trucks that are similar. In Thailand, this truck costs like 800,000 baht. We bought it for only what? 360 baht. 360,000 baht. That's like almost over half. And God blessed us with a new truck. You know, He exchanges our pitiful life for the life He wants us to live. And that can happen with you. But it starts with, are you willing to be selfless? Are you willing to be not known? Because it's God that gets the glory, not us. And once you figure that out, I'm telling you, your life will change. When you start giving it unto the Lord, it will change. Now, let me tell you something. In my own personal life, when I come and speak at something like this, everybody goes, "Oh, look, you, wow, Pastor, great, you know, tremendous speaker and everything." But, you know, in my own private times, I go back and I get before the Lord and I tell Him, "Lord, there is nothing good about me. Anything that comes out good is because of You. Not because of me, but because of You." And I think that's what God is looking for in our lives. The second thing is, all right, so bring a lunch. The second thing, Offer a ride. Offer a ride. What time do I have up till? Eleven ten. Okay, we got a blaze. All right. So offer a ride. You know, in Thailand, and I don't know about Penang, people don't own cars, right? So you know, maybe you can offer a ride. And the story I want to tell you is about Noah. How many of you ever heard the story of Noah and the ark? Right? You know about Noah? All right. I want to tell you how I see it. You know, Noah is standing there. He's looking at creation and God's beauty, and God comes up to him and goes, "Hey, Noah, how's it going?" He goes, "Hi, Lord. How are you doing?" "Well, I'm doing great. Great, Lord, great. Noah, I have a favor to ask you. God, whatever you need, I'm your man. I'm Noah. I can do it. I'll do it for you." He said, "Great, great, Noah. Noah, I want you to build me an ark." "An ark? No problem. God, I can build an ark. How big you want it? How tall? How wide? How long? How? Just name it. When do you need it?" The Lord says, "Oh, I don't need it when you're done. You know, when you get done, that'd be fine. How long you ever need to take?" Noah goes, "Great, God, great, great. Lord, one thing." "Yeah, Noah, what? What's an ark?" "Well, what's the point of the story?" Noah was willing to do something. Noah was willing to do something. Are you willing to do something? Are you willing to do something that you might not like to do? Because if you lose yourself for the kingdom of God, you'll find it. And sometimes God will ask you to do the hard things. The hard things. And we're okay with that, because if it's hard, oh yeah. But if it's insignificant, oh no, no. Give it to brother so-and-so, not me. But that isn't how God works. Are you willing to obey God? Noah built a boat. You know, maybe you're not a shipbuilder. Maybe you don't have a motorcycle or a car to offer as a ride, but you can offer your help. You can offer your time. You can offer your talent. You can offer the treasure that God gives you. But you have to be willing. Are you willing? You know, I looked at this church. You guys are fantastic. You have a great worship team. But do you know that if this worship team only worship one time a Sunday, then you don't see the vision of God? Because you guys need to grow. You have no more space. You need to grow. If you're going to grow, you're going to need a second service. You already have a second service. Pastor John says, "No, let them go to Georgetown." Yeah. No, this service needs to grow. I'm just putting it out there. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to do what God asks you to do? Here's my scripture. "And whoever compels you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. You know, in the Roman times, a Roman army person, a soldier, can ask a civilian to take his armor and carry it a mile. Do you know that when Jesus said, if you offer a mile to offer it 2 miles, that was shocking? Because here the Jews were under oppression by the Romans, and they are forced conscripted, forced labor. Do you know how shocking that was? That Jesus would tell them, don't go one, go two. Are you willing to go the extra mile? For the kingdom of God, are you willing? Let me ask you this question. How much is a soul worth? Can you put a price tag on it? So it inconvenienced you just a little bit. But what is the reward? Another person come into the kingdom. You change the eternity of their lives. They are forever grateful. They have a relationship with God. Are you willing? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Do the things that you don't want to do. Finally, bring a towel. Bring a towel. This one, I'm going to ask if I could take. Oh, I still got. All right. Bring a towel. The story is like this. Jesus brings his disciples to the last night where they have supper for the Passover. And do you know what the disciples are doing? Right? They don't know that Jesus is going to the cross. So what do you think they're doing? They're going through their favorite conversation. Do you know what that conversation is? Their conversation is, who's the goat? Who's the greatest among them? That's what they were talking about. And Jesus, he sees this and he goes, ay, 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 these guys, Lord. And what does Jesus do? He goes behind. He takes off his outer garments, puts a towel around himself, puts another towel around his neck, and he comes out with a bowl and water. And he kneels down and he washes their feet. All he sees was dirty feet and proud hearts. And what does he do? He washes their feet. Washes their feet. Do you know how much humility that takes? Jesus says, or James says this, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Can you be humble enough like Jesus? Do you know, and let me just add this fact, do you know after this one act, the Bible never records the disciples having that conversation again? Are you willing to be humble and do what God asks you to be? Jesus didn't come to be served. It says in Matthew 20, verse 28, he says, I came to serve. Let me ask you this. What are you doing? What are you doing? When you die, what will people know you as? Are you willing to serve? There's another scripture I want to share with you, and I'll end with this. It's found in Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. Which one you want to be? Sheep or goat? Because listen, this is what he says. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goat on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, come you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needed clothing and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Some might say, when did we serve you, Lord? He's going to say, when you did children's ministry, when you ushered, when you did small group, when you led a team to Bangkok. It's when you serve and God gets the glory. There's a lot of things that needs to be done here in this church. And it's going to take you to serve. Not for the accolades, not for the, hey, pat on the back. Because you serve a mighty God, a living God, who's going to bless you with unbelievable blessings in your life. That's why we serve. Because we get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that we are able to love Him and worship Him. When did I see you, Lord? When you served. Let's all stand. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, I'm not like that. And I don't know where to start. With every head bowed, every eyes closed, it starts right here. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I want to serve you, not because it's easy, because it's the right thing to do. And Lord, if it's hard, I can endure, because your strength strengthens me. This morning, if you felt like you haven't been serving the way you should, and you want change, raise your hand unto the Lord with every head bowed, every eyes closed. I see that hand. God see that hand. There's no shame in serving God. There's no shame in having the desire to serve God in a greater capacity. Just raise your hand. By raising your hand, it's an act of surrender, saying, Lord, I need you. I need your help. And God, watch what God does. He's going to come into your life in ways that you have never experienced before. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, and we thank you for all the things that you're doing in the hearts of this great people. Lord, that you will continue to move them. And Lord, that you would continue to work in them so that they would become the people that you have destined them to be. And Lord, that they would be able to rest in full assurance, knowing that at the end of their days, they have done well. And that at the end of the day, they're going to come back and say, Lord, look what we have done for your kingdom and for you, my God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.